Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Two Bros, One Flick. Andy and Sam here, as always.
What's up?
Today we're going to talk about an awesome movie that we both saw in theaters, I'm sure, during about the Christmas time.
And that you guys should have all seen, too.
I hope so, yeah. If you have a brain.
Yeah.
It is Django from 2012.
Yeah, Django Unchained, Quentin Tarantino, 2012. I don't really know if a lot more needs to be said regarding the director or anything like that, because it's Quentin Tarantino.
Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Leonardo DiCaprio, Jamie Foxx, Christoph Waltz. Kerry Washington, who's not in it enough, I think.
That's true.
Samuel Jackson, who is awesome.
Who is awesome.
Always.
And he plays a great menacing character.
He is an awesome,
Self-hating, a self-hating black man.
He's like Uncle Ruckus, but a little bit better.
Yeah.
Just a little bit better than Uncle Ruckus from...
I think he's more like Uncle Cracker.
That's a band.
Yeah. It's actually a one-man band, the former DJ to Kid Rock.
Really?
Yeah, he was Kid Rock's like hype man / DJ. That's how he got. And he's like, he would always be like Uncle Cracker in the house, and then it'd be like, that's how he got his record deal.
Oh wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Well, rest in peace, Kid Craddock, because he died.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it was kind of sudden. Like no one really knows why. It was really sad too, because it was like he was at a charity event.
Uh-huh.
Like for his, he has a thing called Kids.
Yes.
And it's like a charity event that helps like underprivileged and poor youths gain access to things like YMCA.
Sure.
And kind of like plan for their future and
yeah.
stuff like that. And it's like he left that and he went to his hotel. Mm-hmm. And then he died. And then
what,
like
the fuck?
No one really I don't know if anyone has facts on how he died or why he died.
Uh-huh.
Now. But I think someone said it had something to do with his heart. Like it was kind of one of those undiagnosed things.
Oh, yeah. You know,
really
this, that's how Joe Strummer died, too. You know, stuff like an undiagnosed thing to the heart, or like something that's like you have this defect in your heart and nothing we can do about it.
Yeah.
Same thing with the guy from Drowning Pool.
Oh, yeah. I remember that.
He died on the tour bus just as his heart gave out.
Yeah.
Stuff
yeah.
like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, let's talk about slavery.
Great.
Yes.
So yeah, it mostly stars Jamie Foxx and Christoph Waltz as two friends.
Christoph Waltz playing the same awesome Nazi in as a dentist.
No, it's the opposite of a Nazi.
He rides a wagon.
He rides a wagon. Yeah.
He doesn't have a Jew drive it for him.
No, not this time.
Not this time.
It's him on his own. But basically, Christoph Waltz is a freeman, and his job is to kill people that the state has a warrant out for, I guess. Is that the best way to state it?
I thought he was just a bounty hunter. Was the state paying him this
yeah,
time?
Yeah, it's the state paying
oh,
him all the
state.
Time.
Yeah, okay.
Like, they have a bounty out for these people
on
the warrant.
Yeah, so it was like a blanket bounty for anyone to take part of. So.
Yeah,
okay.
And he just gets these names, and he happens to particularly target slave owners, it seems.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So it's him killing these people, and he befriends Jamie Foxx. At the very beginning, and they kind of...
Right from the get-go. Things don't... There's no slow start here.
Yeah, it's a... I mean, it's Tarantino, so
yes.
It's a fast burn and...
Well, I mean, even compared to Reservoir Dogs, though, like, this thing got the ball rolling right
away.
Oh,
yeah, very quick. I mean, within the first, like, 3 minutes, like, five or six people get, like, blown to bits.
Oh, yeah, and you're already kind of entranced by Christoph Waltz, right, when he's
doing
it. Yeah,
he's great. I mean, him and Jamie
Foxx. That first scene where he goes into the bar and he's like, get me the deputy, not the sheriff, the first time.
Yeah. So, yeah, that was, he's just such a powerful actor in roles like this.
The writing was well done as well. So
yeah, spectacular. I mean, it's Quentin. The story is basically they become friends and they take out all of these bad guys. And Jamie Foxx's goal is to find his wife, who
mm-hmm.
was basically taken from her in
you know,
the way that slavery works. And they had to go to a plantation and basically free her and get her back, and then get vengeance on the plantation owner because fuck him. He's a slave owner.
But isn't there a connection? Oh, the connection being he recognized the two guys on the bounty, and those two guys on the bounty also happen to be in connection with
the master bad guy slave owner, who's played by a very menacing Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yes. And first you get Don Johnson actually as one of them, right?
Mm-hmm.
That was funny. That was well done.
Yeah.
Lots of cool cameos from people.
Yeah.
Classic Quentin Tarantino now, I think.
Yeah.
One of the better ones. And the thing about Quentin Tarantino to me is that he has something, a little bit of something for everything. I mean, the weird part about Django for me was I'm in there with an audience who will laugh at some things that maybe Quentin Tarantino thinks are funny, but not like super funny.
Yeah, they're like things like, this is something for everyone to laugh at.
Yeah, and then things that Quentin Tarantino wrote, especially that he thought was funny, I was laughing really hard at.
Yeah.
I was like the only guy laughing at it, though.
Yeah.
Like, there's this one part, oh my God, when they're doing a toast with Leonardo DiCaprio doctor.
Yeah, when they first meet in the room.
What did he say in German?
I don't remember.
It was something. What's the German word for toast or something like that?
I don't know. He said something smart alecky.
Well, he just did something in. I think he said like something in French or something Italian. And then Leonardo DiCaprio rose his hand and just said like, you know, French.
Yeah, something like that.
And then I was like, yeah, that's good.
It's kind of almost a throwback to Inglorious Bastards whenever Brad Pitt is trying to.
Oh my God. Beast. Yeah. This was a fantastic movie. Lots of great characters. Shot very well. Big blockbuster.
Fantastically well.
I think that was my favorite movie during the Christmas season.
Yeah, it's definitely my favorite movie from this Christmas season.
It was good. Did you like it as much as Inglourious Basterds?
I think I liked Inglourious Basterds a little bit more.
Me too.
But not to take anything away from Django. It's just Inglourious Basterds covered kind of a lot more stuff.
Oh my God!
This one was just kind of like an awesome revenge flick, whereas Inglourious Basterds was both a revenge flick, but also, I don't know. I just felt like it was a little bit.
It was an interesting take on like a revisionist kind of like what if scenario. That was interesting and well done.
It was a little bit more imaginative.
And would you say that cast, even though like the cast of like the people in Inglourious Basterds, like they don't have a lot of screen time, it was kind of more of an ensemble feel than this.
Yeah, this is mostly you're watching Christoph Waltz and Jamie Foxx just rip shit up. It's awesome. It's very awesome. But
it's good.
But Inglourious Basterds seem to do the same thing, but with a larger group
we'll
of people.
I totally forgot about like my biggest problem with this movie, and we'll talk about that. And it's the principal reason why this movie isn't as good as Inglourious Basterds.
Okay.
But I thought everything was well done. And the only thing I was thinking now is like whenever we go see a Quentin Tarantino movie now. After Inglourious Basterds.
If he's doing movies,
I'll explain that later. And you see him like doing with the Inglourious Basterds and then Django, it's like you expect like a soundtrack that sounds like, Tarantino picked the soundtrack.
Yeah.
You expect shots that are like, yep, he picked these shots because they're in, you know, like Good, Bad, and the Ugly or Once Upon a Time in the West.
They're referencing spaghetti westerns.
Lots of shots that he uses are shots that from movies that he loves, right? And you get that. It's kind of like everything I expected from him, and I didn't expect, and nothing more almost with this, which doesn't make it a bad movie at all.
Yeah, no. I mean, especially when he executes things so well.
Oh, yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But why don't you talk about the Tarantino thing first, and then we'll get back into the movie so we don't.
So it actually leads me into one of my favorite parts.
Do it.
Of the film. Not like a part in the movie, but just how it's done. Is the cinematography is like off the charts well executed. Every shot looks very memorable. You'll remember most of this movie pretty well because of how evocative the scenery is or how evocative the scenes are just shot.
Exactly.
And part of that is due to the fact that Quentin Tarantino refuses to go to digital. And he's kind of the last bastion of really big name directors who have refused to go to digital no matter what. I mean, digital is significantly more convenient for the studio companies because it's a lot cheaper, it's a lot faster. You don't have to worry about losing anything because it's all digital. You just copy paste things. It's not as, I would say, it makes film producing not as precious because when you're rolling film, it's like you have to get it right as quickly and as best as you can because you don't really have a second chance sometimes. Especially if you don't have that much film.
Sure.
Not to say that, you know, they can't get in all the film in the world. I'm sure they can. But it's something that's a lot more immediate and emergent than something like digital where it's like, oh, we could just overwrite that. We could just take it back. Do it again. You know, you repeat the same thing over and over again, which you can't do with film. But because it was shot in film, I think it lended itself to a greater sense of immediacy throughout the entire film. His thing is, if Quentin Tarantino's thing is that if movies completely move to digital, where like the old Panavision and like the Spectra, all that stuff is thrown out, and none of the movie studios want to work with film like physical film anymore. Quentin Tarantino stated in what was it? Was it AMC?
I think it was AMC did a round table.
Yeah, AMC did a round table with directors, and he basically stated he's going to stop making movies, period.
Yeah.
Like, Django's is the last
one. You could
YouTube
this whole fucking thing, the round table at least.
Yeah.
It was an interesting watch.
Yeah, because I think most of the other directors, like Danny Boyle, were like, what? Why?
Yeah.
You know, but to Tarantino, like, the craft of filmmaking is... It's kind of like a different approach. It's a different.
Also, Quentin Tarantino is a weird fucker.
He is weird.
He is not. He's not cool. I wouldn't want to meet him.
I would. I like.
No, he's Tarantino. An asshole.
That's what I like about him.
Yeah, like I think he'd be kind of rude.
That's okay. He'd be rude. And I would think that'd be funny, and I'd be rude right back.
He's weird, and I don't like him. But his movies are good.
Yeah, his movies are great. But, I think we can all agree on that.
Yeah, but like, I don't know. The movie was very solid. And, you know, I don't think it's going to be his last movie by any stretch of the imagination.
I don't think so either. I'm pretty sure he'll probably commit to digital.
Yeah, and he also has that prequel to Inglourious Basterds that he wants to work on
and
after Kill Bill
3.
Yeah. Which I'll plan on being promising, that's for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
Favorite scene of the movie, let's hear it. And then we'll do favorite thing altogether and worst thing altogether.
Favorite scene in the movie. Man, there's like so much stuff I really liked about the movie.
What about a breakout performance then? Who stuck out to you?
I don't know if I could do a breakout performance because everyone also, to me, just had like great performances. I think my favorite part was just the turn toward the end of the movie whenever Christoph Waltz just shoots.
That was great.
Because I didn't completely expect him to do it. Like, I knew he was going to do it, but I didn't know he was going to do it that way, where he's just like, fuck you, shot.
And then he's like, I'm sorry, I couldn't help it. Yeah. Boom.
He's so coy about it.
That was a great way to end it, though.
Yeah, I really liked that.
Great
that
way it should have ended, I should add. Anyway.
Okay. Yeah. Andy, what about you? What
favorite
did you think?
Favorite
scene.
Oh, God, I really just enjoyed the first bit where it's like, there's no introduction to the dentist until he goes into the bar. And the bar scene is one of my favorite ones.
He just seems like a total badass.
Yeah.
Like, oh, okay, I get it a little bit more.
Yeah, the worst, the best part altogether was just like, it was an engaging watch all the way through. And, you know, Tarantino can get gross sometimes. And I was expecting, you know, like in Inglourious Basterds, you get baseball to the face or baseball bat to the face or stabbing the knife through the pillow.
Yeah, right? or the cross. The swastika on his forehead.
Swastika. On his forehead, right? That shit. But, like, with this one, like, when they had that scene with the dogs, I was like, okay, here it comes. Like, it's going to be unpleasant.
Yeah.
Right? But it wasn't at all. And it wasn't like it was tastefully done.
But he spared the audience almost.
Yeah. And it was one of those things where maybe it's because he already did the Mandingo fight.
Yeah, that was really brutal, too.
That was rough. Which, the Mandingo fight has no historical basis whatsoever.
No.
But I don't know why. It's interesting that he chose that, but... moving on, favorite scene was definitely that the scene where Jamie Foxx rides in his blue outfit for the first time.
Oh, yeah, that's pretty awesome, too.
That's good, because you always look for one of those quirky moments that's funny.
Yeah.
And he did a great job there.
Yeah, that was spectacular.
Did you think, before we get into our favorite part and worst part altogether, did you think there should be any controversy over the use of the N-word?
No.
With him writing it so much?
No.
That was a big deal, though.
I think, I saw that, and, like, I was kind of prepared for it. Even if I did know,
it's a slave movie.
Well, yeah. Well, yeah, that's why if I saw it and I wasn't prepared for it, I would have been like, well, yeah, it's a movie about slavery. And I think one of my friends who had been kind of following the Tarantino stuff, he Tarantino did a lot of these controversial things. Like, he had a picture in Italian Vogue or some kind of like nicer, like fancy pants magazine.
Yeah.
That was like Tarantino clothed, but with a naked black woman.
Mm-hmm.
And she didn't look subservient or anything, but it definitely looked like, you know, Tarantino
Master
was
something.
The,
yeah.
Tarantino was on top of, you know, that picture.
Yeah.
Get
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
No. And so a lot of people were like, oh, Tarantino's a racist, you know. But in my head, the use of the N-word isn't done in like a to be like hitting you over the head with it. It's not done to be like, hey, we can say this because it's about slavery, but it's more done because it's an alternate reality, so it's fictional because none of this stuff really happened.
Dynamite wasn't invented yet.
Yeah, and none of that stuff really happened. But I think the reason as to why he was so adamant about using it so many times is to still kind of remind people that Even though this is a fiction, this is something that is still a part of at least American history. Not necessarily verbatim, like, hey, it's real. But not to downplay the seriousness and severity of what went on during the slave trade.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I watched it, and there's a lot of it in there, but, like, I didn't give a shit, right? Yeah. It was a slave movie. And it's not like, oh, well, slave movies back in the day didn't use it. And it's like, we have slave movies back in the day, you know, the one back in the day that came out or something. You know, maybe it's just...
Well, to me, the other thing was like...
you don't have to be realistic. He's not beating you over the head with it. And it's if it wasn't like... If we went to go watch Wreck-It Ralph and Ralph decided to use...
That would be weird.
That would be weird. You would not expect it, but this is a slave movie.
Yeah, for one, you expect it. And the second thing is I think it's used in a way that... adds to the film. It doesn't take anything away to it.
Yeah, there's nothing where it's like, oh, like, boom, like, God, why are you saying it over and over again?
Yeah.
Best part of the movie for you, what was it? Best aspect, I should say.
Best aspect of the movie? Probably the dialogue, because I love Quentin Tarantino's dialogue.
He's always so good.
It's very clever and quick, and it's like Woody Allen, if Woody Allen had, an attitude.
yeah. I think he's way better than Woody Allen.
I do, too, yeah. I'm not saying that. He's worse.
Well, yeah, but I'm trying to think my favorite aspect. I just like the way it was shot and the interplay between Christoph Waltz and everyone. I'm not just going to say Jamie Foxx because he was great all around.
Yeah.
And you could tell he wrote that part specifically for Christoph Waltz in his head. Yeah.
Yeah.
But the worst part altogether.
Worst part in the movie for me would probably just be the part. So the movie... has a nice end point. I think this is something you alluded to. The movie has a nice end point after Christoph Waltz shoots bad guy Leonardo DiCaprio. Mm-hmm. And then it has kind of this small lull for no real reason where Jamie Foxx... I mean, like, there's a reason
something
to it.
Happens.
But it's kind of, like, weird. And he, like, gets transported and then, like, shoots his way out of it and, like, tricks people. And it's kind of fun the way he tricks them. But at the same time, like, that could have been handled a little bit better.
It didn't have to be in the movie at all.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
That just could have been handled a little bit better in order for him to return and get, like, his complete vengeance.
Yeah.
That was my problem. That was probably my lowest point. What about you, Andy?
Big problem for me. Yeah. I think bigger than...
Probably bigger than
how you feel about it. Yeah. Because, like, if you're... my thing was, you're gonna do a great spaghetti western, and you're going to take so much from all these other spaghetti westerns... Yeah. And then you're not going to finish it like a spaghetti western would finish it.
Yeah.
And
which
I get
one
it.
Kind of like exclamatory.
Yeah. Well, like the thing is like, and it's not just like, I'm not going to finish it with you. I'm going to halt all action and forward momentum.
It's sort of a weird stop and pace.
It's never been. I've never seen Tarantino have such a weird halt and pace.
Yeah, I haven't either.
And that's like, and I don't know if he thought it would be funny if he did it or like, hey, I'm going to change it up. Right. But that takes you out of it because like right when... the stuff happens with the dentist. You're like, okay, here we go. This is what's going to happen. You know, the movie's going to end, but it's going to end in a blaze of glory, right?
Yeah.
And with this one, it almost does an injustice to Christoph Waltz's demise when it's just kind of like a boom.
Yeah.
And it's not really about the dentist or what he did.
Yeah.
To help
and like
Fox.
A big thing happens after Christoph Waltz dies. It's not like it's just. Like, that's
exactly.
the end. Yeah. A lot of stuff happens, and it could have ended the movie then, in the aftermath of Christoph Waltz dying.
It's like, but maybe Tarantino's like, wait, I want a cameo, and it can't happen unless this happens.
Yeah, he likes
Which
his cameos.
Which is probably one of the worst cameo appearances
That's the point,
he's done.
Andy.
He's
so bad.
It's supposed
to be a terrible cameo. That's what he does.
Oh, my God. It's terrible. But it was
terribly good.
It was a big problem for me. Big problem for me.
Yeah.
But it ended, but when it actually started to get to its resolution, the ending was really good. And it would have been an amazing movie if the resolution came right after the death of Christoph Waltz.
Yeah.
So, let's talk about 10-point scale.
10-point scale, I really like Django.
Yeah.
Just because I thought it was funny, I thought it was interesting, it was in... what's the word I'm looking for? I can't remember the word
it's
I'm
captivating,
looking
for. Captivating,
man. It was good. Captivating is a good word. Insightful. That's what I was thinking.
You thought it was insightful?
In some ways, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
I mean, like, it had points to make that, I think, most like, films that are that mainstream don't even come close to. It was brave, you know?
That's true.
So, for that reason, I thought it was worth at least a strong 9.5, close to a 10.
Jesus.
But I, yeah, because I love Tarantino, and I really did like pretty much everything in the film.
Yeah.
Even the last part, which is kind of like took, it stopped the momentum.
Just talking about the last part is making me angry right now.
it's going to lower the score some.
Yeah, it will.
But yeah, I thought it was a 9.5. Everyone should have seen it by now. If you haven't, you should go check it out for sure.
That's one man's opinion.
Yeah. What about you,
that's
Andy?
That's awesome, though. I'm glad you gave it such a high rating. You are very seldom to give things such a high rating.
Sometimes. I don't know.
Yes.
I'm also biased because it's Quentin Tarantino and I love him.
Well, I like him too, but I like a lot more of his movies better than this one, I think.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm giving this one an 8.
Okay. That's still really good.
No, still really good. Yeah. And you should still watch it, but it's definitely not his best. And, because, like, the way, like, if you're going to give yours a 9.5, and I understand you're giving it a 9.5, or at least a strong 9.
Yeah.
That means you think that Inglourious Basterds is a 10?
Yeah.
Okay.
I love Inglourious Basterds.
I'd give Inglourious Basterds an 8.5.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Because there's just two, there's nothing, it's a good movie, and everything he does, I really enjoy his music, too.
Yeah.
Right? And so stuff like that, but it's
just covers so
it's
much.
It's an 8. It could have been an 8 point. It could have been just as good or better than Inglourious Basterds. But the end, like, not even the ending, that lull that it hits, and it was just like, man, you didn't, there's not, if I could have seen some necessity to it.
Yeah, it did, yeah.
That was the only
problem.
There
wasn't, like, a real point to it. Like, I know, I think some people are comparing the kind of break in action to Kill Bill Volume 2 whenever Beatrix goes back to Bill's house. But when she's at Bill's house, you know, like, something big is going to go down at any moment.
Sure.
Because they're both, like, these crazy assassins.
I don't want to get into, like, spoiler things here, but I was thinking, like, how maybe it could have been different. There's other conventions about, like, so the lull happens, that because that's something that happens, something bad happens, right? But you want to go, so, like, this lull could happen again, but it could happen in a thing where it's, like, Jamie Foxx could escape and be like, I'm going to live to fight another day.
Yeah.
You know, which has been done in other spaghetti westerns. You got to retreat first and then regroup, right? So I was thinking maybe that would be cool. And there is an aspect of that after things happen and he comes back, right? He kind of regroups and he's ready to do it. But there's, like, two or three extra steps in this kind of weird break that I was like, okay.
It's just a little odd.
Yeah, and that part was more to explore, like, black on black, like, you know, violence, I think. Especially with Samuel L. Jackson.
Oh, yeah, as Uncle Ruckus.
Yeah,
I don't know what his name is, but he's Uncle Ruckus to me.
You know, it's like one of those things where it's just kind of like, oh, I see how he's switching it up. Like, maybe his true enemy is actually, it's... You know, whatever, but...
Yeah.
8 for me is really good anyway. It's a good Tarantino movie. I've definitely seen worse Tarantino movies. I've definitely seen better ones. The only one I could say that topped it, like, outright would be Inglourious Basterds.
Yeah.
That's a great movie.
It is a great movie.
But, yeah, I think general consensus is one of us really liked it.
Yeah.
And one of us liked it a lot.
Yeah.
So it was good.
Yeah, it's a great movie.
Yes, yes, yes. Check it out.
Definitely.
I'm probably going to grab it on Blu-ray sometime. I saw it on the big screen, which is fun, but I'm sure renting it would make a good time too. And also, if you're worried about hyperviolence, not really in it.
Yeah, this movie wasn't as crazy as, like, Kill Bill Volume 1.
Oh, yeah.
Or even Inglourious Basterds.
You would think that the gunplay, there'd be more, like, you know, squims going off or whatever.
But I will say, all of the kills in this movie were so satisfactory for me.
Oh, yeah. They're all well done. Everything was well done.
Yeah.
But just that lull will take you out of it, but it's not enough to ruin the movie.
No.
It wasn't enough because the writing is top-notch.
Yeah.
Banter is funny.
Yeah, as always.
And don't let the N-word bother you in this movie.
Don't be so square, man.
Sweet, sweet, sweet.
Yeah. Well, thanks, everybody, for listening. We always appreciate your questions and comments. And, yeah, thanks.
Perfect. Bye.